Good morning, everybody. You awake? Good to be with you. Would you please stand with me as we read the Word of God? We're going to read Scripture, man. It's a great passage. We're going to go through a great text today. God has something to speak into your life. He's been speaking into mine. I know He's going to speak into yours. Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. God says, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the laws that my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep the book of the law always on your lips, meditating on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not told you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Father in heaven, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we have left our houses to come to this house of worship, to this assembly, this gathering, this meeting of believers. And Lord, we come this morning with purpose. We are here, God, to worship you in spirit, to worship you in truth. We come, Jesus, that you might teach us, for you are indeed the great rabbi, and we are your students. And we embrace this classroom of life that we are living in today. Lord, teach us what we are to learn as we are here today, walking on this earth that you made. We ask, God, that you would touch our eyes that we might see you, and we pray that you would touch our ears that we might hear you. And that this would be done not for the kingdom of man, but for the glory and the kingdom of God alone. And all those who love the Lord would say what?
Amen.
Amen. And now you may be seated. Good to be with you and good to see you all. These flowers are here. We had two memorial services this weekend. Our heart goes out to the Misael's family. Misael passed away from cancer, age 57. And also for the Nordstrom family, Millie Nordstrom. God bless her. Both of them in the kingdom of glory. Millie, our dear sister, we sang happy birthday to her about 90 years of age, right over there in that corner. What? It was a couple months ago, and now she's with the Lord. Praise God. So my wife, in her great wisdom, about a month ago, she says, "I feel like there's just waves and waves of sadness falling upon us constantly." And I looked at her and I said, "That's exactly how I'm feeling." For all of you that are surfers, and I know that all of you are, it's interesting when you surf, you try to time, you have to time in between sets in order to paddle out to the lineup in order to be on the other side so you can catch the waves when they come in. Waves come in sets. And even when you're going to catch a wave, you want to be careful what wave you want to catch in the set, because you don't want to be caught inside. Inside. It's called the impact zone. And if you catch the first wave and maybe you ride it and you fall, all of a sudden here comes set after set after set, and you get hammered again and again and again. It's called a washing machine. You just get, and when you're getting pounded constantly by the surf, it gets scary, especially in big waves. You're coming up just in time to breathe, and all of a sudden you go back down again, over and over again. And when my wife said, "I feel like just waves of sadness has just been hitting us," I'm like, I absolutely agree. It's like we keep getting hit over and over and over again. I felt like this for the last year and a half, and I've been kind of just thinking about trying to process what's happened within our lives, within our Jesus community. And, you know, I put a list, you know, 9 people. I've been to 9 memorial services. 9 people have died that I know of. And I wrote 9 until this morning. Now I have number 10. Mike Byram just passed away. Him and his wife moved to Atlanta, and he just died this morning of COVID. 10. 10 people have died. Last 10 months, over and over again, these waves of sadness. And with them comes fear. Does anyone relate? Is it just me? If you can relate to what I'm saying, throw up your hand. Is everybody here going, not me, man. This, the world's awesome and everything's going on great, you know? I mean, COVID, the economy, humanitarian crisis at the border, Afghanistan, it just goes on and on, just sadness, sadness. Okay, pop quiz this morning. Last year, what spread faster than COVID? Does anyone know? Fear. Fear spread faster than COVID. Fear, a state of mind experienced in a threatening situation and resulting in behavior which is designed to escape or avoid the threat, real or imagined. It's a powerful emotion which can grip with paralyzing terror caused by nearness of danger or perceived danger. Over the last years, my brothers and sisters, we've had fears that were rational fears. I mean, real people were really dying. And we had fears that were irrational. Last year, you know, in the midst of COVID, I would go over to the Carr's house and we would walk their kids. You know, we would go down and walk along the trails. And it was a great time just to get out in the midst of COVID. And as we were walking by, Dr. Carr was angry because his twin boys and his three boys couldn't go play on the playground set because it was all wrapped around with do not enter because they didn't want kids playing on a playground set because of COVID. And Dr. Carr says, this is stupid. COVID does not stick on surfaces in the summertime in 100 degrees. This is dumb. And I tried to tell my HO, I'm Dr. Warner Carr, there is no scientific reason why my kids cannot play on that swing set. Too bad. Last year, we have a house at the river, and at one time they closed a section of the river because they didn't want people swimming in the water because they were afraid that if someone had COVID and water went in their mouth and it's floating down the river and someone else got COVID in their mouth, they get COVID from floating on the river. That's stupid. Dumb. Dumb. Or how about this irrational fear? How's that? How about this one? How about that one? My precious. My precious. How about this one? I love this one, man. This one's kind of cool. Possession with intent to distribute. Does anyone like the Looney Tunes? Be very, very quiet. I'm hunting toilet paper. Ah, that was me growing up as a kid. Every Saturday, Looney Tunes. Sesame Street, 2020 in one sentence. A roll of toilet paper is worth more than a barrel of oil. That's true. See, we as Americans, we were afraid that we wouldn't have enough toilet paper last year. So in our fear, we began hoarding and causing a situation that shouldn't have existed. See, in our irrational fear that we wouldn't have enough toilet paper, we created a shortage of toilet paper. It's irrational. And what does that say about our society? Crazy, right? See, there is rational fear. There's irrational fear. What are you afraid of today? And is your fears today rational fears or are they irrational fears? Are you thinking through what you're afraid of? Because there's so much conflicting information, it's hard to even get a good handle, right? Fear, right? Okay. What's the opposite of fear? Courage. Courage. Fear is an act of courage. If you want to take notes with me this morning, take down. Here's note number one, right? The opposite of fear in the scriptures is courage. 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 And there is no greater passage on God commanding courage in the Bible than what's found in Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. It's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. It was my favorite from the days I first read it. I love Joshua 1:9. I love the person of Joshua. He's one of my favorite persons in the Old Testament. I love the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua deals with one of the most important stages in the fulfillment of God's plan to bring salvation to the world. When you read in Genesis that when mankind falls, God says he's bringing a savior. And then you read in Genesis, God creates a people through Abraham. And then he refines these people and gives them his laws through Moses. But in order for God to bring salvation to the world, his people were to have a land. A land. And this land was to prepare the coming of another Joshua, Yeshua. Joshua means Yahweh saves. It's a perfect name for God using to bring his people into the land, and it's a beautiful name because from that very same land, God was going to bring another Yeshua. Greek name for Joshua is Jesus. And with this Jesus, a savior to come into the world and not just save the nation of Israel, but all mankind. Joshua, it's a great verse. It's an amazing individual. And the book is just a critical book in the plan of God's salvation history. Joshua, have you ever met Joshua? If Joshua could come and sit in a chair right here and we were to interview Joshua, what do you think he'd tell us today? What do we know about him? Joshua, who are you? What's your life about? And Joshua would tell you, you know what? I grew up as a slave in Egypt as a little boy. I grew up in slavery. I grew up in slavery. And then one day, a man came from the wilderness named Moses. And he was an elderly man. And he began telling Pharaoh, let my people go. Joshua was just watching this. And he watched Pharaoh say, no way. And he saw his God bring down plagues upon the nation of Egypt as he was an eyewitness. And he saw all the plagues of Egypt, amazed that his God is in the midst. And he's watching Moses. He saw Moses as the sea parted. He was there when Moses threw down his staff. Joshua is the guy going, you want my story? I walked on dry land and both sides was walls of water as God delivered our people, his people. Joshua, who are you? I was a young man, born and raised a slave in Egypt. I was a young man who saw God do mighty things. I was a young man who saw this man, Moses, do the most incredible things. And he would tell you, my intent was to get as close as I possibly could to Moses because I want to be with him. I want to be with him. Numbers 11:28 says, Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since his youth. Joshua was a teenager when he began following Moses. He sat at the feet of Moses. He was the disciple of Moses. He's called Moses' aide. He got as close as he could to Moses his whole life. And can you imagine, what did Joshua see as he followed Moses? We read in the scriptures that as Moses went up to Mount Sinai and got the Ten Commandments, Joshua got to go halfway up until he was permitted no more. The nation of Israel there, Moses, there's Joshua. When Moses comes down with the Ten Commandments, guess who's the first human being who got to see the Ten Commandments of God besides Moses? Joshua. Joshua was Moses' attendant at the tabernacle, at the place of meeting, when all these amazing manifestations of God's glory would take place, like a cloud overshadowing the tabernacle by day and fire by night. Moses was there and Joshua was there as his aide in the tabernacle. Joshua was the one when the Amalekites attacked the Israelites as they were coming out of the promised land from the rear end, attacking in a column of 3 million people. Who's at the backside? Children, elderly, those that can't keep up. and the Amalekites attack them, a well-trained, equipped army. Israelites have never fought a battle in their life. Moses says, Joshua, get all the guys and go fight, and I'll go up on a mountain and pray. And you know, when Moses prayed, Joshua would fight and they would win. And when Moses got tired, he would drop. And the Amalekites would win. And pretty soon they're holding Moses' hands up. See, when we work, we work. But when we pray, God works. Right? Joshua was the first general in the Israeli army. He was the one in charge of the Israeli forces when they first fought. When they finally got to the promised land, Joshua was one of the 12 who was the reconnaissance party that went into the promised land and saw the land that God says, this is the land I give you people. Joshua was the one that came back with Caleb and said, this is a beautiful land. And they gave a good report. And the 10 said, there's giants in the land. We can't go in there. They're too powerful for us. And Joshua was the one with Caleb and said, our God is bigger than the giants in the land. But the people listened to the 10 instead of Joshua and Caleb. And they began crying out to the Lord. They began rebelling against the Lord. In Numbers 14, 27 through 30, God says, how long will this wicked community grumble against me? God was getting, his patience is being tested. I have heard the complaints of the grumbling Israelites. So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. In this wilderness, your bodies will fall. Every one of you, 20 years old or more, who is not counted in the census and who has grumbled against me, not one of you will enter the land, the promised land I swore with uplifted hands to make your home, except only people that's going in is Caleb and Joshua. And that generation died off. As a matter of fact, Moses died off. And when we read Joshua chapter 1, God says to Joshua, let's go, let's go. But there's a problem. There's a problem. Did you see the problem? Let me read Joshua 1 and see if you can identify the problem. Here it is, right? Joshua is now alone, right? He's there. Joshua 1, 1 through 9, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. This is God's promise. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. Now listen to this. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. Can you imagine that? Imagine God telling you that. No one will stand against you all the days of your life. How's that for a promise, right? As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Here it comes. Be strong and courageous. Because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep the book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong. Be courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you for wherever you go. How many times does God tell Joshua to be strong and courageous? 3 times. Why? Why? He's afraid, people. He's afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Note number two. Take this down. God told Joshua to be strong and courageous three times because he was afraid. He was afraid. And it's so cool to ponder and say, what was he afraid of? We were talking about, you know, every week on Thursday mornings, we pastors get together and we look at the sermon that's to be given on Sunday and we begin discussing it, looking at it, making sure it's... And we were sitting there going, why was Joshua afraid? Was he a coward? Answer? No. He was the one telling them, God is bigger than the giants of the land. Joshua was the one that was the first general fighting in the Israeli armies with no training or experience, right? Joshua wasn't a coward. So why is he afraid? What changed? What has changed in Joshua's life? Moses is gone. He's gone. Joshua feels alone. He's always followed Moses. He's always been number two. He's always followed Moses, and now Moses is gone. And he is having moments of fear because he feels alone. Can you relate? He feels alone. Is his fear rational? He's sitting on the other side of the Jordan River. Is Joshua's fears rational? Yeah, in a sense. I mean, on the other side of the Jordan River, there's armies and fortified cities. War is in his future. Anybody who knows who's going to war, that's a scary thing in and of itself. Is his fears rational? Yeah, in a sense. Is his fears irrational? In a sense. Because he feels he's alone. He feels he's alone. And God is speaking to him. See, here's a note for you. And I want you to write this down because I think this is profound. When a person of God dies, nothing of God dies. You should write that down. When a person of God dies, Moses, nothing of God dies when Moses dies. When a man of God dies, when a woman of God dies, nothing of God dies. What makes a woman or a man of God a person of God? Answer? God. See, Joshua is going, Moses is gone. And God is telling him, yeah, Moses is gone, but I'm still here. I'm still here. You know, I get this. Man, you guys, I get what Joshua's feelings were. Man, lately, Cindy and I, we've been listening to Chuck Smith's podcasts. I love Chuck. So Chuck Smith started the Calvary Chapel movement. The Calvary Chapels of the North Shore of Hawaii were my cousin Steve that went there, a big wave surfer. Most courageous man I've ever seen, surfing 40-foot waves. He's the one that began sharing Jesus with me. He's the one that took me to that church on the North Shore of Hawaii, North Shore Christian Fellowship at Waimea Bay. It was the Calvary Chapel of Big Bear that gave me a Bible and just challenged me as I was working on a construction crew up there after high school. When I first got saved, I was at Calvary Chapel. Monday nights, Greg Lordy. Tuesday nights, Odin Fong. Wednesday nights was Chuck Missler. Thursdays was Chuck. When I hear Pastor Chuck, I just feel comforted. It's like when I'll listen to Billy Graham's sermons on YouTube. When I see him, I say, oh my gosh. And they're gone. I feel man and era has gone. And it makes me long for the past. And then it dawns on me, the God of Chuck Smith hasn't died. The God of Billy Graham hasn't died. He's here with us today. Do I hear an amen? When a person of God dies, nothing of God dies. God is still here. He's still at work. Joshua, you're afraid. I get it. It's like God is counseling Joshua. Hey, Joshua, Moses is gone. I get it. But I'm still here, Joshua. As I was with Moses, I'm with you. No one will stand against you all the days of your life. Can you hear Joshua? Right? The secret of Moses' success was because of God's presence with Moses. The secret of Joshua's success was because of the presence of God in Joshua's life. The secret of your success as a child of God is because the presence of God is in your life. Tell me I'm wrong. I'm not. What did Jesus say as he spoke his last words in Matthew 28:19-20? He says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And listen, and surely I am with you, how often? Always. Even to the end of the age. How often is God with you? Always. That's supposed to encourage you. When God commands courage, He never commands courage without a reason. When God commands courage in your life, He always commands you to be courageous and He gives you a reason to be courageous. And the reason is God is with you. He's with you today. And because that's true, be strong. Be courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Why? What's the reason, Lord? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Pastor Graham's message last week was right on. In the storm, the disciples are afraid, and he says, those disciples were in the safest place they could possibly be because they're with Jesus. And wherever you're with Jesus, you're totally in the, when you're in the center of God's will, when you're walking with Jesus, What should you be afraid of? Nothing. Nothing. God is counseling Joshua. And verse 10 is the defining moment in Joshua's life. That defining moment in his life. Listen to this. Joshua 1:9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." So Joshua wimped out, ran to his tent, climbed under his bed, got in a fetal position, started sucking his thumb. Is that what that says? Is that what that says? So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, "Go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here and go to take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own." In that moment, Joshua faced down his fears, his doubts. He believed what God was saying, he acted in faith, and he moved. That's called what? Courage. And people, the rest is history. Right? God's people, led by Joshua, entered the promised land. They crossed the Jordan River. There was a miracle of that. They went to Jericho. They began taking the land that God created and gives to his people. God's purposes were achieved. God's will was done for his people. Note number 5. You ready for this? Courage is contagious. Courage is contagious. See, the more you move in courage, the more courageous you will be as a child of God. So most of you know that Pastor Frank was, I'm a hick from Big Bear. I grew up in Big Bear. Big Bear at the time had like 7,000 people. Lived up. I'm a kid from a small town in Big Bear. Well, growing up as a kid in Big Bear, lots of fields. There was no dog leash laws in Big Bear. Everybody owned a dog. And I remember the school bus. I remember there was a poodle that would bark and chase me all the way home from the bus stop to my house. Does anyone know how big a poodle is? But this poodle would bark and yelp and attack, and he'd nip at me, and I was running. And I think it was embarrassing. I think it was my dad that said, son, you need to not let that dog chase you around, you know. One day I remember I took a rock and threw it at that dog. And that dog yelped. And he didn't chase me. You know what? I felt really good. Was my fear irrational? It was. Now, Steve Gifford's dog, Tonka, that was a mean dog. As a matter of fact, that dog ended up killing that poodle. And I remember watching Tonka carrying that poodle around his mouth. He killed squirrels, dogs. Tonka was a rational fear. I'd run from Tonka. But the poodle? Fear is contagious. Courage is contagious. You know, I remember as a young Christian. See, I'm a man, I don't know about you, I'm afraid of heights. Are you anyone here afraid of heights? I mean, I'm afraid of heights. When I get up on a ladder, I get the Elvis shake. You know what I'm saying? You know, oh, see, ride, right? The Elvis shake. I just get afraid. And Big Bear, there's these cliff jumping rocks, and there would always be these rocks, and I'd watch people climb up and jump off those rocks. And I'm afraid of heights, man. And I remember as a young believer, about 22 years of age, my brother would jump off these cliffs, and he would take his sandals. When his feet would hit the water, he'd snap the sandal in two. I mean, it was up there, 60 feet up there about maybe. And I remember one day, I was a young Christian. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord. And I'm climbing up there. And I'm quoting this verse. And I'm not going to be afraid. And I was totally afraid, but I'm pressing through my fear. And I got up to the top of there and I'm quoting this verse. I love this verse. I love this verse. And I remember jumping off that rock into the water. And when I came up, I'm like, yes. And I'll jump off that rock now. People, courage is courageous. And so's wimping out. So is wimping out. It's contagious. I'm a father of three sons. And my wife and I were, you know, in the Jewish culture, there's a thing called a bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah. It's like when kids get a certain age, they're no longer children anymore. They're moving into adulthood. And I remember talking with Cinda, and I'm like, babe, you know, our sons are getting older. And we began talking about, you know, what am I going to do? And how do I speak into my sons as they're growing up? And we came up with a plan. Some of you might have heard this if I've ever talked about it before, but Jonathan's my oldest. And I remember when he was like 12, 13 years of age, I kidnapped him. Kidnapped him. Dad, I'm going to play handball. Hey, Jonathan, no, we need to go do something. And I had already packed his bags and everything and get in the car with me, and we started driving, and he kept asking. He's talking about things, and all of a sudden he's like, where are we going? I said, no questions. And he's kind of looking at me, and I drove him to Forest Lawn. It's a cemetery where my mom is buried. She died when I was 9 years of age. I just took this picture this year because my Aunt Bernice and Uncle Glenn both passed away. They're just buried just down the street. And I remember taking Jonathan to this place. He goes, Dad, what is this place? I said, I want to show you something. And I took him to my mom's grave, and I sat him there, and I said, Jonathan, I want to tell you about my mom. And I began telling him what I remember about her and who she was and this and that and the other. And I said, you know, you would be her first grandson, and she would be so proud of you, you know? And I said, I wanted you to meet her. And we were talking about this. And then I ran up to the car and I came back, and Cindy and I gave each one of our sons a Roman sword, like this one. It's a decorative sword. And we engraved on the blade Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. If you give a 12, 13-year-old kid one of these, they are excited. And he was so, oh my gosh, that's so great. He's wielding it around. And when he was done looking at it and how fun he wanted to play with it, I told him, I said, Jonathan, someday I'm going to be in the ground just like my mom. And someday you're going to tell your kids or grandkids or great, about me? And what will you say about me? How well have I lived my life? I said, son, someday you're going to be in the ground. What do you want people to say about your life? What do you want your life to be about? And whatever that is, you need to tell us what it is, and we'll engrave it on the blade. And I said, Jonathan, the reason I'm giving you a sword is because life is not Nintendo. Life is hard. Hard. Life is tough. Tell me I'm wrong. Life is like waves that will just crash and pound against you. And I said, son, you've got to learn to fight. You have to learn to fight in this world. You've got to learn to do this. Because this is life. And this is what I was explaining to my sons. All of them. I kidnapped them all. And Pastor Frank, where did you go after the Forest Lawn? I took them to Vegas. Because that's where I did the sex talk. Can you think of a better place where human beings destroy themselves with human sexuality than Vegas? It was, son, there's a thing that you need to figure out what you're going to do with your human sexuality. Behold, the place where people ruin themselves. Right? You want to know how practical this is? I did this to all three of my sons. My middle son, you all know, is a policeman in the city of San Diego. And he called me last week. He said, Dad, I need to talk to you. He said, and he called me. He's 10 weeks into his, he's finished the academy. He's now driving, it's called FTO field training, and he's driving with another police officer. They're training him. And he called me. He said, Dad, one of my buddies that I went through the academy with last night pulled over a person, and then the person took off. They were in a high-speed pursuit. And when the guy finally pulled over, he jumped out of his car and fired point-blank into my friend and somehow missed. And then the gun misfired. Misfired. And they shot him. And he called me. He says, Dad, it's getting real. It's getting real. He says, I'm afraid. Hey, John, Jordan, do you remember your sword? Yeah. I told him, son, if there's easier way to make a living than doing this. I said, if this is your calling, though, then you do what God's called you to do. If this is your calling. And if it's not, then there's a better way to make a living. This is a tough job. 10 weeks in to his FTO. I said, but here's the point, son. Your bulletproof vest isn't what's protecting you. It's the Lord God Almighty. And your job is to get as close to Him as you can. Because He's the one that watches over your life. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The reason why we do what we do is because God is with us. What are you afraid of? What decisions are you making based on fear? What fears do you have today, and are they rational? Are they irrational? Is it toilet paper? Come on, people. Man, there are clear and present dangers today. There are things that you should be rationally fearful of, and there are things you should not be. Think. I was speaking to my sons because I'm a father. The world is not Nintendo. It's a tough place to live, and you've got to learn to fight and grow up and be strong as a man. And do what God calls you to do. And you know, when you push through fears, you grow. When you push through your fears, you grow into maturity. When you punch through your fears, you're never the same. Joshua was never the same when he punched through his fears. Joshua became a man of God. He in the end of Joshua, it doesn't say that he's the aide of Moses. He says he's a servant of God. He graduated into being a servant of God, just as Moses. Joshua fought through his fears. And in the end, when you read Joshua, it says, "For me and my house, we serve the Lord." He grew up when he pressed through his fears. Brother and sister, as a father, I'm speaking to my kids. As your pastor, I'm telling you, I feel God wants to speak into all of our lives. These days that we're living in are unprecedented days. Wave after wave after wave. These are not days for you to be timid. For God has not given you a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and a sound mind, sound thinking. God has not given you a spirit of fear. God is with you wherever you go. Millie Nordstrom, we celebrated her service on Friday, and we were hearing how she was quoting Bible verses as she was getting ready to enter a new eternity. Just a brave woman, Millie Nordstrom. Warrior princess. Misael passed away. He's 57. The pastors, I shared this. We went over to his house and we anointed him with oil and we were praying for him, asking God to heal him. And you know, Misael looked at us and he says, "I'm going to beat you there. I'm going to beat you there." Pastor Vince said, "Oh, let's not talk like that, you know." He knew. He was strong and courageous from entering from this realm into eternity. He just, I didn't see any fear in him. Man of God. I think the Lord wants to say something to you this morning. And here it is. I command you, be strong. All of you, be courageous. Do not be afraid of what you see going on around you. Do not be discouraged. Why? For the Lord your God is with you today and wherever you go. Be strong. Be strong. Pressing through fear. There's too much fear in the world. I'm tired of it. Are you tired of it? I'm sick of it. Our leadership team, we were like talking. We spent a couple weeks ago just praying, and we began talking about this. And some person on our leadership team says, "Bring it." I'm like, that's exactly where I'm at. I feel like I'm in the impact zone, and I'm coming up out, and I'm going, "Bring me more. I'm over this. Bring it. I'm done. I'm past being afraid. I'm actually getting mad. Bring it. Because the Lord my God is with me." I wake up this morning, Mike Byram. Oh, gosh. That's okay, Lord. He's with you. Praise the Lord. Bring it. Who's next? What? Me? Bring it. What? What's next? What should I be afraid of? Tell me. What should I be afraid of? What should you be afraid of? COVID? The Republican Party, the Democratic Party, China, inflation, cancer. What? What should you be afraid of? What should you be so afraid of that you climb underneath your bed in a fetal position and start sucking your thumb? What should you be afraid of, Christian? child of the living God. What? Be wise. Please don't be foolish. Walk with wisdom and truth. Nothing to be afraid of. Do I hear an amen? Come on, guys. Are you with me on this? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you today in the child of God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Who are we, Lord? People made in your image. People who you created and who you know and who you love. Every hair on our head is numbered. All the days of our lives are before you. All of them. There's nothing in our lives that you're not aware of, God. There's nowhere we can hide from you. You are the Alpha and you are the Omega. You're the beginning and you're the end. You're the author of all days. And God, as we walk in a broken, fallen world, you understand that, you know that, and you are with us. God, I pray for my brothers and sisters today. Thank you, Lord, you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound thinking. God, help us to be this. Lord, you are with us. You are with us. Today, tomorrow, you are with us every day. As even as we travel from this life into eternity, you walk with us always. Thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done in our lives as you wish it to be so. We love you, God. We trust you. In Jesus' name. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
There's this beautiful song called Waymaker. And as I asked them, you guys got to play this song. I love this song. I've been humming this song all week. You are here, standing in this place. We worship you. It's a good song. Let's sing. Why don't you stand with us?